像怎么切 Let the world conform the rumor Christ is risen, Christ is here Risen for his people Whom he loved and died to save Christ has risen for his women Bringing flowers and earth he gave Christ has risen for his people There's room in the battle's wage, and as far as the tomb. And the canyon, former friends who fear the night, sensing loss and limitation, where their faith has once burned bright, they be known what in the longer. They expect no closer view of God's constellation, singing gathering wine. Risen for the faith, and as long as the light, and as the world and the light, and as the world and the light, as the
Let us come once again before the Lord in prayer with our prayers of confession, and it will be followed by the Lord's Prayer, which we will be singing. Let us all pray. Merciful Father, in your presence and in the communion of your faithful people, living and departed, we admit our faults. You have taught us to love you with all our whole being. We confess that our discipleship has been lazy. We have been afraid of what others may think. We have missed opportunities for bearing witness. We have not loved you with our whole being. You have taught us to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. We confess that we have been envious of those who have more than we have. We have despised those who are different from us. We have been angry with those who disagree with us. We have not loved our neighbours as we love ourselves. Merciful Father, we know that in Christ you love and forgive us. You have made us your children, and you will go on loving us. Help us to live by the strength and hope this faith gives us. Help us to overcome our sins and to trust you for the grace we need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The power and the And now, can we have our gospel reading, please?
And the gospel reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 36. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus predicts his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." The way of the cross. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?" Amen.
Our next hymn is "Come With Me, Come Wander. Come welcome the world where strangers might smile or where the stones may be hurled." deceive without method or merit. Come loose every bond that's resisting the Spirit, enabling the earth to be yours to inherit.
Mark's gospel is very interesting. It's the earliest gospel for which we have a record, because it was written not long after the death of Jesus. But Mark, to the best of our knowledge, never actually met Jesus. He'd heard about him from others, from the disciples, from the apostles, from Paul. Consequently, he looks at the story of Jesus in a different way to the other Gospels. What in the other Gospels is missing from Mark's Gospel? Birth? One? And the resurrection. You've heard this before, haven't you? It concentrates on what Jesus did, what he said. What is the most important passage, verse, that was read to us from Mark's Gospel? A few words. It is something that is a question to everybody. Not only to the disciples, it's a question equally valid for you and me today. Who do you say that I am? And if you look at Mark's Gospel in terms of that question, Mark's Gospel starts to make a great deal of sense. And it is something which should govern our lives, because we need to understand who Jesus was before we can go out and proclaim his message to other people, whether that be by word or by deed. The difference that Mark had for the Gospels then is the same difference as we have today. Jesus was a preacher, he was a teacher. He was an example to other people. He was a master, a saviour, a friend. It's not surprising, because a little bit like, you know, Russian dolls, when you break open one, there's another one in its place. And so it is with Jesus. Break one and there's always something else about him that's important that we find. Jesus is like the, in a sense, one description, but is never sufficient to describe him at all. If you don't believe me, read John's Gospel, where Jesus is described as various things, as a lamb, the light, the vine, the bread, and all the others. It's also true that we see people in a different way. How many people here were children? How many people here are parents? How many people here have nephews and nieces? How many people here are married? How many people have a colleague or a friend or a neighbour? How many people here are granddads or grandmas? C- Come on, I know there is more than me. How many people are great-grandparents? That makes you feel very old. It's the same as with Jesus. We all have different persona depending on the situation in which we find ourselves. Our designation changes. But you're one and the same person. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever who you are. Throughout the biography of Jesus, Mark's central concern is, who is Jesus? What does he do? How does he do it? He starts off by announcing the answer. In the very beginning of his book, in the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, we're told by Mark who Jesus is. In the centre of the book, Mark recounts this conversation between himself and his disciples, where Jesus asks them, who do you say that I am? One of his inner circle says, you are the Messiah, Peter, we believe. At the end of Mark's gospel, at the end of the biography, as recorded by Mark, there is the proclamation by the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross who witnessed the death of Jesus. And he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Mark's gospel is all about identifying who Jesus was. At the end of Mark, there is the climax of the book where Jesus is arrested, sentenced to death for the crime of blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God. Jesus could have been just another forgotten victim, could he not, of Roman brutality, yet another failed Messiah. However, in the final chapter of Mark's Gospel, we read the eyewitness account of the empty tomb, vindicating his startling claims to be the Son of God and the Lord of life. The story of Mark ends on a rather strange and minor key. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. Obviously, from what we know, that is not the end of the story. But that was the end of what Jesus was as a human being on this earth. Because things happened differently when he became the risen Lord. But the thing is, that story is challenging to us, for us. He's challenging us now to know what Jesus is and what he can do. But to put that story into context, the passage in the Bible, Jesus, we were told, was going to Caesarea Philippi. Well, no, it doesn't say that. What did it say? Everybody thinks he was going to Caesarea Philippi. He was going to the villages near to Caesarea Philippi. He didn't want to go to Caesarea Philippi. Why? Caesarea Philippi was actually basically a new town. It was a bit like Milton Keynes of the day. It was built by a man with an ego, one heck of an ego, the son of Herod, Philip II, hence Philippi. And he wanted to be associated with Caesar, so Caesarea Philippi. The town that had been there before had been a centre of pagan rituals. It had been known as Panias or Panion, after the Greek god Pan. And it was part of the development that Philip built a temple to Pan in the middle of Caesarea Philippi. It's tempting to suggest that Jesus was going to Caesarea Philippi with the idea of proclaiming himself as Messiah in the Temple of Pan. But it wasn't the case. He was going to the villages outside, which were not part of Caesarea Philippi, but still there was around the religion, if you want to call it a religion, the belief in the Greek gods of Pan and the others. But the villagers were also more likely to have come across the teachings of Jesus from travellers that were going around. And bear in mind that Caesarea Philippi was only about 30 miles from Capernaum. Not that far away at all. Even though it was dominated by pagan connections, Jesus proclaimed in the villages that he was the Messiah. To the Gentiles who lived in the villages of Caesarea, around Caesarea Philippi, but also to the Jews who were trading with those villages. And we see that question, who do people say that I am? Funnily enough, Herod thought that he was Elijah. So he was obviously worried about something, or he was John the Baptist to come back to haunt him. But the answer given by the disciples demonstrated both the confusion that they had over the identity of Jesus, but also by the hopes that some people had that the Messiah would be coming. They were looking to him as a Messiah coming in to get rid of the Roman occupiers. But for the crowds, Jesus asked the second question. Who do you think that I am? He wanted them to be absolutely sure that they understood who he was and what he was about, so that they could go back to their communities and tell people about this man Jesus, that he wasn't just somebody who performed miracles, that he wasn't just a healer. There was much more substance to this man. And at the end, it was a matter of faith. Faith can't be inherited. It just doesn't happen. It has to be shown by somebody. They have to have a reason to have faith in somebody like Jesus. But why did Jesus tell the people to keep the fact that he had proclaimed himself as the Messiah, to keep it the identity secret? If you carry on reading in Mark's Gospel, the next chapter is the Transfiguration. He was waiting for God to show the people, show the disciples, show the apostles, his followers, that God took him to be the Son, his Son, in his Transfiguration. That's why he didn't want to preempt what God was going to do in the area. We need to understand who God is before we can claim
to be a follower. It'd be very easy for us to follow somebody like, I'll say Pan, could be Mars or whoever, it doesn't matter. It'd be very easy to follow somebody like that. But when you are asked to follow Jesus, as the disciples were, and we just sung about, we can expect something more important to happen to our lives, because we have faith in what Jesus did, said, who he was, that gives us the strength, the courage, and the will to go around doing good in his name. Amen. You might wonder why I'm singing this, and it's up there. But the butterflies keep going across the screen. Our next hymn is one that includes the motto of Cliff College. The first three words. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, this our song shall ever be.
Jesus, this our song shall ever be. For we have no hope nor Saviour if we have not hope in thee. Hour by hour, none can move us. Trust thy love and power. O Lord Jesus, thou hast died. O for Jesus, thou art with us. O for Jesus, crucified. All for Jesus, this the church's song must be, till at last another blood in love and one.
Let us come before the Lord with our prayers of intercession. Let us all pray. We pray for those who are anxious about the future, those who have difficult decisions to make, those who are troubled. Bring your comfort and courage, God of steadfast love. We pray for those who are ill. We think particularly of members of this church, of Richard and of Julie, and other members of our congregation who are unwell at this particular time. We pray for those who may be unhappy, those who face mental, physical, or emotional difficulties. Bring your healing and wholeness, God of steadfast love. We pray for those who have grown complacent and those whose faith needs refreshment. Bring your challenge and excitement, God of steadfast love. Amen.
I've just realised the final hymn is the third one by John Bell. And I hadn't realized it when I was picking the hymns at all. But it doesn't matter. They were relevant to what I was saying. It's a challenge to us. Not only do we need to know who Jesus is, but are we prepared to come and follow him? If I but call your name. Quite specifically, because the story of Jack Cummings is such an inspiration to anybody who wants to follow the call of Jesus and shape something in the world, as he did with a little tatty aeroplane that's one of the biggest fleets in the world in humanitarian aid. A wonderful, inspiring story. And a prayer as we go of dedication. It's St. Patrick's prayer. May the strength of God pilot us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the shield of God defend us. May the host of God guard us against the snares of the evil one and the temptations of the world. May Christ be with us, Christ before us, Christ in us, Christ over us, and may your salvation, O Lord, always be ours, this day and evermore. Amen.